All right, welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today we're going to get into a case that every budding business lawyer should really wrap their head around.
Yeah, you got it.
And that's Shonhill v. Hilliard. It's a Second Circuit decision from back in 2000, but it's a real classic when it comes to understanding how courts handle damages, especially when a new venture goes belly up.
Yeah, this case is a real gem. You know, you've got Reese Schonfeld, one of the guys who actually co-founded CNN,
wow,
going up against Russ and Les Hilliard, the folks behind International News Network, INN for short. And you know what? It's a perfect illustration of the legal line between what a startup dreams of making and the real tangible value of what it actually loses when the whole thing falls apart.
Yeah, so let's back up for a second. Paint a picture for us. What was INN? What were they trying to achieve?
Okay, so imagine it's 1988, and the Hilliard brothers have this vision. They want to bring BBC programming to U.S. audiences.
Ambitious, yeah.
So they bring in Reese Schonfeld, not just for his investment, but, you know, to leverage his experience, his know-how in the media industry. He's a consultant, a heavy hitter.
And let me guess, the real golden goose here was the BBC content itself.
Right, yeah. Got it. I mean, that was their main asset. They first snagged this March supply agreement. This gave them exclusive rights to distribute BBC programming in the U.S. Then it morphed into an interim agreement and ultimately a more solid December supply agreement. Now, for all you future lawyers out there, pay attention. These agreements, they were the heart and soul of INN's value. Without them, fuftak, the venture was nothing.
Right. Makes sense. So what happened? How did this promising venture go off the rails?
Well, according to Schonfeld, the Hilliards dropped the ball. He claimed they failed to raise the capital they'd promised, the money INN desperately needed to become operational, you know, to fulfill their end of the bargain with the BDC under those supply agreements.
And that lack of funding, I assume, had some serious consequences.
Oh, absolutely. INN ended up defaulting on their commitments. And the BBC, well, they were left with a broken contract, a breach. So they did what they had to do. They terminated the December supply agreement. Without those programming rights, the heart of their business model, INN was finished.
So Schonfeld, having poured his money and hopes into this venture, seeing it all crumble, naturally he wanted some kind of legal remedy. What kind of compensation was he after?
He went for three main types of damages. First, he claimed the profits that INN projected they would have earned if everything had gone smoothly, if they'd launched successfully. Second, he wanted the market value of those BBC supply agreements themselves, basically the value of the opportunity they lost. And lastly, he went for punitive damages, arguing that the Hilliards' actions were more than just a simple breach of contract.
So he was basically saying, look, they didn't just mess up, they did me dirty. So how did the first court, the district court, rule on these claims?
The district court, they weren't buying most of it. They dismissed a big chunk of his claims. On the lost profits, they basically said, look, INN was a newbie, no track record, zero operational history. Any guess at future earnings is pure speculation. How do you put a hard number on the potential success of something that never even really got going?
Right. Legally speaking, that makes sense. Proving the financial success of something that never launched is kind of like, you know, predicting the future.
Exactly.
What about the value of those BBC agreements then?
They chucked that out too. They said the agreements were basically worth whatever profits they might generate. And since those profits were a big question mark, the value of the agreements themselves was also too shaky to measure. And on the punitive damages, they found that while the Hilliards might have screwed Schonfeld over financially, their actions weren't malicious enough, not the kind of outrageous behavior that warrants punishment on top of compensation.
Okay, so not a great outcome for Schonfeld at the trial court level, except for a small win.
Yeah, he only got a measly $15,000 on a separate fraud claim, basically just covering his out-of-pocket expenses. Not a happy camper, Schonfeld decides, I'm taking this higher. He appealed to the U.S. Court of Appeals for the Second Circuit.
Ah, okay, so for all the future legal eagles listening, this is where it gets interesting. The Second Circuit had a different perspective. What was their reasoning, their legal logic?
The key thing they did was draw a clear line between lost profits and the value of a lost asset. While they agreed with the district court that guessing INN's future profits was a shot in the dark, they really emphasized the need for reasonable certainty, a concept you'll run into a lot in business litigation. They brought back Schonfeld's claim for the market value of those lost BBC supply agreements.
So they separated the what-if income from the concrete value of the asset at the time it was lost. How did they back that up?
The cool part is the evidence they zeroed in on. There was a real offer on the table, from Cox Cable no less, to buy INN's BBC rights for get this, $1.7 million. The Second Circuit saw this as a solid, real-world assessment of those agreements, completely separate from any fuzzy predictions about whether INN would sink or swim.
So a serious offer from a major player gave them the hard evidence they needed.
Exactly. And Judge McLaughlin, he nailed it in the court's opinion. He said, and this is a quote worth remembering, market value is inherently less speculative than lost profits. It's what a buyer pays for the chance at profits. Boom, mic drop. That's the essence of it. The Cox offer wasn't about how much INN might rake in. It was about what a savvy buyer was willing to shell out for those rights right then and there. For you future litigators, that kind of objective evidence is gold.
It really clarifies the difference. Even if the long-term profits were a mystery, the immediate value of the asset was crystal clear. What about the punitive damages? Did the Second Circuit have a change of heart on that one?
Nope, they stuck with the district court's ruling. They emphasized that punitive damages, they're not your everyday remedy. They're meant for behavior that goes way beyond harming one person or company. It has to be really bad, showing a blatant disregard for the public good. They didn't think the Hilliard's actions, even though they led to Schoenfeld's financial loss, were that outrageous. Punitive damages are like the nuclear option, not for every fender bender.
Okay, so let's boil down the big legal lessons from Schoenfeld v. Hilliard for our listeners, the future legal minds out there. What are the key takeaways they should absolutely remember?
All right, three biggies. Number one, proving lost profits for a new business venture is tough. Courts demand reasonable certainty, and without a proven track record, your optimistic projections are likely to fall flat. Second, there's this concept of lost asset damages. It's all about the current market value of what was lost due to the breach. And that Cox offer, that's the perfect example. Real offers, recent sales, that's your strongest evidence.
What's the third principle?
The high bar for punitive damages. They're not meant to be a general compensation. They're reserved for truly egregious behavior, the kind that harms more than just the parties involved. Think of it as punishment for really bad actions, not just making someone whole after a private dispute.
So for someone stepping into the legal world, what are the practical takeaways? What should they keep in mind?
It underlines how important it is to understand the different types of damages and what evidence you need for each. A fancy business plan projecting huge profits is one thing, but a firm offer to buy, that's a whole other ballgame. This case also shows the difference between those pie-in-the-sky future earnings and the real demonstrable value of an asset right now. Making that argument effectively, that can make or break your case.
So, to wrap up, Schoenfeld v. Hilliard is a valuable lesson in how courts handle damages, especially when a new business goes under. For all of you listening, the main point is that there's a big difference between those maybe someday lost profits, especially for unproven businesses, and the solid here and now value of a lost asset, particularly when you have strong evidence like a real purchase offer.
Absolutely. And it leaves us with a question to ponder. In what other legal situations might this distinction between lost profits and lost asset value be crucial? Don't just think about failed businesses and think proactively. How could a startup early on document potential offers or valuations for their key assets so they're better protected if someone comes after them for those uncertain? Maybe we would have made millions lost profits down the road.
Food for thought for all you aspiring legal minds. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive. Keep those brains engaged, and we'll catch you on our next exploration.